This is WBAI broadcasting on the Pacifica Radio Network and to our affiliates. I'm Matthew Finch here with Bernard White and a crew of people who have been in the studio. You've been listening to the action outside at the rally, national listeners. Well, the rally has been glorious and inspiring and similar to ones that have happened around the world over these last few hours. What has been happening away from the rally has been a very, very different story. We're going to complete the one-hour national cast with Bernard White, Jose Santiago, our guests and correspondents.
Okay. And Jose Santiago, who I won't say he joined us because he's been here. He was here when I got here this morning. But, Jose, you've been at the telephones, at the tape recorder, at the computer. And you fielded a lot of information this morning.
Yeah, there's been a lot of information coming in, and some of it a little more accurate than others. But great concern. Great inspiration and an extraordinary program that has taken place at the United Nations, duplicated in many, many cities around the world. We know that they're talking now about a million people in London. They're talking about after that ended, their rally ended, that there were about 500,000 who sat in, and as I understand it, they're still sitting there going into the nighttime, and police are trying to figure out what to do with the demonstrators there. And obviously a real mess in Manhattan, with the crowd at one point reaching all the way into the 80s, and not enough space on First Avenue, or not enough space as allotted by the police department on First Avenue, so that the people needed to move over to Second Avenue and Third Avenue and Lexington Avenue. And we've had reports from people who have called us at one point and then maybe call us 45 minutes later and have not been able to move out of the area where they are, including our station manager who called in a little while ago. So it's quite a scene out there. In some cases, it's people are in a sort of confrontational situation with police, a lot of anger. In some cases, people seem to be deciding to sort of be where they are and celebrate where they are. A lot of people were being told have their radios on and are listening to this programming. We also had reports earlier, and police at this point, and I just called them about 10 minutes ago, are only confirming about a half a dozen or so arrests, they're saying, although we have independent reports from three or four locations where people there saw as many as 10 arrests, most of them in the 1st and 2nd Avenue area in the 50s, 60s, 70s, along there. The initial arrests, we were told, were about half a dozen or so of young people who were marching from Union Square to the rally site. One early report we got from one of the youth organizers of that effort told us that police at 24th Street and between 5th and 6th Avenue had actually surrounded the young people who were marching and were only allowing them to leave 2, 3, and 4 at a time. It appeared to be an attempt to break up their march. They were walking on the sidewalk. I think some of them might have been stepping into the street, but they say it was very peaceful. And it looked like there was a little bit of a confrontation there. There appears to have been some arrests there. But again, we have had a number of reports from individuals calling in. When I have attempted to confirm it, the police are saying very, very little at this hour.
You know, considering the many places that we've heard about wall-to-wall traffic, and the seems that the march went all the way up into the 80s, which is like 30 blocks.
Yeah, some people have said Harlem.
First, Second, yeah, and Third Avenue. Yeah.
And I think it's a mile, 20 blocks equal a mile, approximately.
And I would say that there's probably well over a million people there. I mean, when you consider that there's a good possibility, yes. Yeah. And that happened in spite of an attempt, a very well-publicized attempt by the city to stop or at least create some confusion about whether, in fact, there was going to be a demonstration.
And also headlines. I saw a number of headlines in the tabloids, I think Daily News and Post, where when there was the decision or the ruling not to allow a march, which is not the same as not allowing the rally at all, there was a headline that says, no march. So a lot of people, in fact, were calling in over the last couple of days, well, is there a march or isn't there? The paper is saying there isn't. So whether it was, you know, on purpose or just, bad editorial sort of judgment on the part of the headline writers, it had the effect of making a lot of people think that this thing had been canceled, that the court was not allowing it at all. So that was a big factor.
Mm-hmm. And for those of you who have not been listening, or if you've been getting just a steady diet of the national feed, we here at WBAI have been also trying to get some of our street correspondents who've been calling in, who've been told us quite a bit about what's happening in their particular locales. And in many instances, it seems that the police have, as usual, their historic role has to try and turn a peaceful demonstration into something other than a peaceful demonstration. We've heard reports about police on horseback moving into the crowd, trying to get them to move into areas where there was just no space to move. And we will continue to do that throughout this, the rest of the broadcast. You are listening to Pacifica Radio, WBAI, in New York, as well as we're also simulcasting with WUSB in Stony Brook. And this is Peace and Justice Radio. What we're attempting to do today is to take you, place you, those of you who are listening on your radio, right at the march, right near the United Nations down in the east side of Manhattan. And hopefully you have enjoyed this broadcast. As you know, we are in our fundraising drive. And if you are interested in becoming a part of us, and won't be put too much on the folks that are not in our area, but if you're interested in supporting the radio station, I just want to give that number again. It's area code 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. We have Shelton Walden on the line right now. Shelton does a program here at WBAI called Walden's Pond. Shelton, where are you and what's happening?
Well, I'm in a warm location right now at the moment, but earlier this afternoon I was out there for about 3 hours. And first of all, obviously it's very cold. But I witnessed firsthand the police department, if you will, bum-rushing the crowd on horses at the incident at 2nd Avenue 53rd Street earlier. At one point, it started out, but the crowd was relatively peaceful and were petting the horses. And I was standing next to the phone booth, and a couple of guys got up on top of the phone booth taking pictures, and the police asked them to get off the phone booth. And very quickly, events started to spiral out of control. The police grabbed the guys up on top of the booth as they jumped off, and then the horses began to move into the crowd, and people started to move briskly, if you will, and several people were arrested. It was quite a dangerous scene because there were a lot of people, there were a lot of young people, there were a lot of some elderly people, and it was the crowd was felt like we were pinned in. We couldn't move. And it was, if I hadn't moved, because I was standing on top of this New York Press newspaper kiosk, which was sort of rectangular to the street next to the phone booth, if I hadn't moved, then the horse, 30 seconds later, the horse was right there, and I would have been trampled by these horses. And so the crowd was yelling and shouting at the police officers. It was just very, very. It was a very
tense moment.
Very tense moment there. And this organization by the police of this rally, I think it was very, very unfair to, on a number of levels. First of all, it's very cold and people need to move. You can't have people pinned in. In bitter weather for as many hours as you can. I think this was a very spiteful way to organize or give permission to for a rally march to organize. I think this was a very, very deliberate policy by the city. First of all, number one, everyone's tuned into WBAI out there. I mean, every radio is tuned into BAI. And number two, universally, people are very, very angry about the way this was organized. I mean, not by the organized, but by the police department. People need to move and be able to move freely and to be able to march, not to be pinned in. I think it will go down as one of the worst instances of protests in the city. And not by the protesters, but by the police department.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for that, Shelton Walden.
Okay, and tune in tomorrow.
Okay. What time?
Noon to 2.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Stand by.
Under a law called 245I to try to become legal here, and after that he was picked up in his apartment and they put him away for months and months. I think it was like a year, if I'm not mistaken, and he was shipped back to Jordan, and he's been in prison there now.
You know, it occurs to me that no terror alert was announced when George Bush went to church. Therefore, I'm wondering whether you, in your familiarity with Muslim culture, Islamic culture, have been communicated with by other faiths or by organizations of other faiths in regard to the stress that is being placed on your community now?
I am not very active in this area, but there's a group of people in our community. They're doing a lot of interfaith meetings, and they're trying to work with the local churches and synagogues to try to call for peace. And since we cannot work in every area, I'm not very active in that part. But a lot of members in our community are working very hard and trying to unite their forces with the churches and synagogues and so on to call for peace.
Thank you very much,
Maher El Jamal. This is Pacifica Radio, live coverage of the rally in New York City. I'm Robert Knight here with Werner Avery Brown and Amy Goodman. We go back now to the stage.
You're on outpouring of anti-war sentiment, the United States and Great Britain began rewriting a draft resolution Saturday to authorize force against Saddam Hussein. Diplomats speaking on condition of anonymity said the final resolution may be softer and will not call explicitly for war. Who says protest doesn't work?
Isn't that some news?
I know you all know, but I want to make it clear that our strength and our presence and our persistence can change things, can change the world. You just got to keep it up, keep it strong, no matter how cold, how tired, no matter how many no's you hear. You keep going!
We are about a continual process. We turned out in Washington, D.C. We're here in New York. There will be other places, other cities, other towns, and we're going to continue to stand up. But a part of standing up is we got to also be able to pay the bills in order to stand. So I'm back here again talking to you about an offering, a collection, raising up some money to take care of the things that we need to take care of so that we can speak with a new strength to those who think that they're in power, because we're here to say something different. The people are in power. The people are in power. I don't know about you, but I don't know what's in the White House, because the people are ruling. There's going to be that blue and white pouch that is going to be moving through the crowd. We ask that you give generously, for that is what's going to allow us to move on and to move forward and to be that strong voice for the people. Remember, when you give, You are also supporting those in the service who went into the service for education and training and may not have gotten education or training and now find themselves in harm's way, going to fight somebody else's war. We ask that you give generously, give so that we can continue to stand up in truth and in power. God bless.
Okay, we're having Serena Cruz, who's a county commissioner from Portland, Oregon. Serena Cruz.
Good afternoon, New York City. I'm Multnomah County Commissioner Serena Cruz, and I stand here with the 92 cities and counties and states across this great country of ours that have passed anti-war resolutions telling President Bush no to war. We want New York City to be the next city on that list, so that New York can join the cities of Santa Cruz, Oakland, Santa Fe, Detroit, Atlanta, Ithaca, Burlington, Vermont, the list goes on. And what we stand together, Cities for Peace, stands together against this war. This is an unjust war, President Bush. We believe that our cities, our towns, our people will not be safer by this war. You bring the threat of terrorism into our cities. You make the UN at risk, an institution that it keeps the world safe. And when you enter this unjust war, you spend hundreds of billions of dollars that we want spent in our cities and our towns on our people. We want jobs, not war. We want good schools for our kids, not war. And we stand here with you, New York City, as Cities for Peace against this terrible war.
Our next speaker is Namita Chad. In the name of national security, since September 11, 2001, thousands of South Asian and Arab Muslims have been declared guilty until proven innocent, then detained, jailed, and or deported. They are America's new disappeared. DRUM, DSIS, Rising Up and Moving, is the leader of the fight to free the detainees and reunite their families. Namita Chad.
Hi all. I just wanted to give a quick shout out to the immigrants and people of color who made it out here today. It takes a lot of guts to come out when the war at home and the attack on our communities is on full force. In New York and New Jersey alone, hundreds of our friends and brothers are still being held in detention centers, facing their 10th, 13th, 16th month in detention, and the numbers are still growing. Yet to this day, not one has been found having any links to terrorism. Here's a statement from one brother in detention. My name is Saleh Hamza, and I am a victim of September 11th. I've been in detention for 14 months, and we, everyone in here, we are not terrorists. We get hurt by what happened September 11th. Not only the Americans get hurt, everybody got hurt. I was taken away from my family, taken to Passaic Jail in New Jersey. For the people in there now, they are suffering. The food is very bad. They cannot visit their families. The guards put dogs on us when we do prayer for Jummah. That's why I went on hunger strike for 8 days to move to Hudson County Jail. A jail is still a jail, but at least at Hudson, I finally got a chance to hold my baby who was born when I was inside. Last Tuesday was the first time I held her, and she's 8 months old. And that has been very terrible for me. I want to ask the government to release me and to release all of the detainees of September 11th, because no one here is a terrorist. Thank you. And so, Drumass, who is the terrorist? Who knocks down a family's door at 3 a.m. and drags a scared child's father out into the darkness? Who sticks a prisoner in isolation for 18 hours without food when that prisoner asks not to be served pork? Who forces men from 25 countries to register with the INS and willingly turn over their contacts, credit card information, and freedom, for which there's the rally against press registration next Friday, the 21st, at 11 at 26 Federal Plaza. Stop the detentions. Stop the war on Iraq. Stop the war on third world peoples abroad and at home. Thank you.
Thank you. We should welcome a new contingent that's just joined us. Thousands of people are joining us every moment. More and more contingents. This is our city. Whose city is it? Whose city is it? Whose city is it? Whose city is it? All right. Elizabeth Horton Sheff is the next speaker. First African American to be elected in this nation to a council seat under the banner of the Greens. Currently serves as majority leader for the Hartford Court of Common Council, Elizabeth Horton Sheff.
Saludos de mi señor alcalde de Hartford, Eddie Perez Rivera y su señora Maria. I bring you greetings from the Honorable Eddie A. Perez, Mayor of the City of Hartford, and his wife, and special greetings from the members of the Green Party from Maine to California, Alaska, and Hawaii. The Green Party wishes to make known that our protest lies not against those who serve in the armed forces. Indeed, we are grateful for those men and women who lay their lives on the line on the battlefield to protect us. No, it is not the who we question. We are clear on the who. We want to know why. Why are you on the battlefield in the first place? Why is the Bush administration so anxious to engage in conflict abroad and so unwilling to address conflict in its own backyard? Why is the Bush administration willing to spend billions of dollars when there are hungry children in our neighborhoods, family in need of health care, people in need of jobs, homelessness, AIDS, racism, corporate greed? The Green Party wants to know why. The Green Party joins you in wanting to know why. We want you to pray for peace. We want you to work for justice. And we want the Bush administration to know we do not want war.
Thank you. Our next speaker, Anthony Arnold, editor of Iraq Under Siege and a member of the International Socialist Organization, Anthony Arnov.
Thank you. It is brilliant to see so many people protesting here today in New York. We are hundreds of thousands strong. Despite the best efforts of the mayor and of the police. And for each of us who is here today, there are 20 people marching in London, in Athens, in Cairo, and around the globe. George Bush has his agenda: endless war, bombing Baghdad, occupation of Iraq, attacking immigrants and working people at home. And we are here today to announce our agenda. We are the beginning of a movement that can stop Washington's war on Iraq and its wars to expand American domination of the globe. Every bomb that falls on a school or hospital in Iraq is a school or hospital that will not be built in this country. Bush has billions of war, and for the rest of us, he has cuts in education, health, and affirmative action. We have to stand up to this and convince our neighbors, co-workers, and families to join us and involve more and more people in this struggle. We have to say another world is not only possible, it is necessary.
Thank you. Our next speaker, Umberto Brown, is International Secretary of the Black Radical Congress and works with the African and African Descendants Caucus that came out of the UN World Conference Against Racism in 2001. Umberto Brown.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. I'm here to call your attention that today we are discussing Iraq and we're saying no to that war, but we have the tendency to forget what history has taught us. The same people who want to bomb Iraq told us that after Durban, when we declare that the slave trade, that colonialism was a crime against humanity, they didn't understand what does that have to do with poverty today. They didn't understand why we spoke about reparation, why we are demanding that people, African descendant, indigenous people, who land, who territory, who people were killed in building some of these nations, that today they deserve to be treated as people, and that this war is essentially another version of what colonialism and slavery and dehumanizing people from the South represent. I'm from a country named Panama. We were invaded. I'm from Central America and we know what military occupation is. So we are asking you today to remember that when people ask for reparation, they're talking about the dignity, the respect of the life of millions of people. And if you ask yourself, who are the poorest people in the world, who've been abandoned, who's been killed, you will see the relationship between the past and the present. So I'm asking you today to say no to this crazy war. I'm asking you to say that only peaceful resolution to conflict will provide a world where we can coexist. And I want you to believe in your strength. None of the governments of the world can speak for us. If we want to stop them, we have to come out and say no to war, support reparation, and stop the racism that is killing people around the world. Thank you very much.
Welcome, 52nd Street. We're glad you're here. Marian Yalini Tumbineyagam is a queer Sri Lankan Tamil woman, a member of the South Asian Gay and Lesbian Alliance here in New York. Welcome our sister.
What's up, y'all? I'm a member of SAGA, and I'm a big old dyke, and I'm against this war. Big shout out to all those anti-war but can't be present because they're working, locked up, fear their own safety, or have to report to serve in the military at 2 o'clock in the morning. Big shout outs to our brothers, sisters, and sister brothers in struggle, Ghaz al-Fataha and Asal. We gather today because we refuse to allow our hearts and passion to be manipulated. This war on terrorism does not begin or end with this war on Iraq. It accelerates a right-wing agenda about destruction and control of the earth, human bodies, and consciousness. It ain't new. This war's been in the works for years.